Begin the current daf, Masechtas Chulin daf Nun Tes. Begin on the top line of the Amud, where the Gemara continues in the related discussion from the previous daf, where we were discussing seemingly a contradiction regarding Chiltis. We were talking about what makes an animal a Trefa or not. Shmuel had said that if we force feed the animal Chiltis, it makes it into a Trefa. Bryce said not. So we explained that Bryce is talking about the leaves of the Chiltis, although it's harmful, as we see from those categories in the Bryce, but that's not going to make it into a Trefa or Sakanas Nefashis. Our Mishnah was talking about the actual grains of the Chiltis, which are sharp and pointy, which will pierce and puncture the intestines, thus making it a Trefa. So regarding the harmful and the severity of this Chiltis plant, so Amar Yehuda says, Hayman da ochel tilsa takli chiltis alibi rekana. Someone eats 3 shekel worth of weight of chiltis on literally an empty heart, which means before he eats. Mishtalech mashche. So his skin will be peeled off because the chiltis will heat him up so much that he'll have a great fever that will literally peel off his skin. Amar Bavo, he says, I actually had such an incident. And I ate 1 shekel worth of this chiltis. If I didn't sit in water to cool myself off, my skin would have peeled off. But I fulfilled it myself by realizing what to do and to have this intervention of going into cool water. As the Pasuk says in Keheles, the wisdom causes the owner to live, which is because of my wisdom, I knew what to do as an intervention. Similarly, Amar Rav Yosef, he says, Hayman da ochel shitzri bei. Whoever eats 16 eggs, varboyam guzi, and 40 nuts, v'shev butisa de parchi, and 7 berries of this caper bush called slaf, v'shasi riviyasa de dupsh, and he drinks a quarter of a leg of honey, and he does this all betkufis tamas, alibad rekana, in the summer months, on the empty stomach, misakr talya de libe. All his connections that are connected to his heart will be ripped out, will be uprooted, meaning the heart strings, and meaning if he eats all these things in that type of situation. Now, the Gemara concludes this Mishnah's discussion regarding a halacha of our previous Mishnayos, regarding the element regarding the animal, what we consider as a possible trefa. Sahu bar tavya de asala be resh galusa. There was this deer that came to the house of the resh galusa. To have a mifsik karen basraisa, that its hind leg was severed, was torn. So, but ki rav betzemes agidim achshrei. So Rav inspected, as we said, that there's a possible problem with the hind leg, which is specifically in the tzemes agidim, in the junction of the sinews, which is by the thigh, which is near the knee area, in the hind legs, to see that has to be intact. If not, if that's cut, if that's severed, then the animal is going to be a trefa. So he checked over there because he saw there was some part of the hind leg severed, and he saw that it was intact, and he said the animal is kosher. Now, so he thought that, yeah, he's going to eat it almost in a raw state, where he's not going to roast it so much in the oven. You just salt it a lot, and you roast it just a little bit on coals, and then he'll eat it, because he kashered it, he said it's kosher. However, Amalei Shmuel said to Rav, L'chayish mar l'nikure? Isn't the master concerned for some other problem? You're right, the animal's kosher because it's not a trefa. But maybe the area where the leg is severed, maybe a snake had bit, and that's what relates back to our previous Mishnah. Maybe a snake had bit the deer over there, but now that it's severed, you can't tell, and it should be forbidden because of Sakanas Nefashis. How could you just go ahead and eat from that deer? So Amalei Sarav said to him, so my tekanta, so what's the rectification? What could we do over here? So that Shmuel told him, Nesve b'tanur, put the deer in the meat in the oven. The iu badik navshe, it will check itself, by itself. How so? So he put into the oven, and nafal tilchi tilchi, the meat of the deer fell apart piece by piece, which obviously was showing that it was contaminated, it was poisoned, and that actually a snake had bit it. It's just you weren't able to tell because it was severed. So Kari Shmuel laid the Rav. So Shmuel, when he saw this, said regarding Rav, a pasuk imishli, that says, lo yu'un l'tzadik kalavan, nothing evil will befall the righteous person, which Shmuel saw that he was prepared and he was sent here by Hashem to save Rav from eating that which would have been usher because of Sakanas Nefashis. And Kari Rav alei de Shmuel, Rav recited on Shmuel, a pasuk in Daniel, kal raz le'onus lach, no secret is hidden from you, meaning that Shmuel was very well learned and understanding and insightful that he was able to realize this potential problem, which actually was regarding the poison of the snake. Now, the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing the theme regarding the validity of kosher meat. So on that, our Mishnah tells us, Simoni behemah v'chaya nemer min haTorah. There are certain signs that the Torah gives us regarding what's considered kosher domesticated animals and wild animals, like the Pasuk says, Zaysachai, and it goes and tells us what the signs are. But b'simoni ha'ayif le'nemer, the signs of a kosher bird and those which are non-kosher are not said in the Torah. Aval amar chacham, but our sages tell us. And they say, kol oif ha'doiris, any bird that claws, meaning that it holds onto the food item with its claws, its fingernails, and it lifts it up from the ground at what it's going to eat. So that's tame, that's a non-kosher bird. Now, however, kol sheyesh li etzba yaseira, whatever has an extra toe, which Rashi says that's the finger that's higher up, that's behind all the front claws and fingers that it has in the front, so the extra one that's sticking out in the back. The zefek has a crop, which is where the food goes into in the bird. The krokovani niklaf, and its gizzard that it has, which is another one of the organs in the digestive system that can be peeled away. So then tar, that signs are of a kosher bird. Now, Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddik Omer, he says, kol oif achilek es raglav, any bird that splits its feet, meaning, as the Gemara will explain, that when the bird's putting its feet on a string, it splits two fingers on one side of the string and two fingers on the other side of the string. Then tell me, that you should know that that's a sign that's a non-kosher bird, that it's a dairis, it's a bird that claws. Now, uvechagav, regarding grasshoppers, the signs of them being kosher, is kol sheyesh le'abra raglayim, if it has four legs, v'abra kanafayim of four wings, v'kartzulayim, it has these two very long legs, besides the four legs it has, which is near its neck, above its legs, which to spring, when it wants to jump, it uses those legs. Ukanafav chayfenes rubay, and its wings cover the majority of its body. Those are four signs to indicate that it's a kosher grasshopper. Now, Rabbi Yisem, he adds on, Rishmai Chagav, its name has to be Chagav. That's the sign, that's the type of kosher grasshopper. Now, uvedagim, regarding fish, kol sheyesh le'snapa v'kaskesis, which we're going to shortly explain, if it has those two signs, that's a sign of a kosher fish. Behudam, he says, has to have shnei kaskasin besnapper echad, two kaskasin and one snapper. And says the Mishnah of Elohim kaskasin, what are kaskasin? That's hakavuin boy, that's the scales that are attached to the fish. Visan pirim, that's haperechben, that's the fins that it swims with, that it's able to swim with on the water. The scales and fins are the two signs of a kosher fish, which Behudam says you need to have two kaskasin, two scales, and one fin. So the Gemara elaborates in the halacha of our Mishnah, turn about and win the Braisa. The Mishnah opened up, as the Braisa says, Elohim Simon the Behemah, these are the signs of a kosher domesticated animal, which the Pasuk says in the Var. The Pasuk says, Kol Behemah Mafreses Parasa Begomer, one of the two signs is the animal has split hooves, Begomer, etc. Which it says is also Malas Ger, if it brings up its cud and chews it, which is the food it already ate, and brings it up, that's the ruminant, that's the kosher animals, that's the two signs. Now, says the Braisa, kol behemish amalas geira, really, any animal that brings up its cud, chews its cud, as we're going to call it, b'yadua she'in l'shinayim l'mala b'tahira, then you know that it doesn't have teeth on the upper part of its jaw, which generally we have teeth on the bottom and the top, it doesn't have teeth on the top, and b'tahira, and that's the kosher type of animal. That is the Gemara b'kololahu. The Gemara says, is that really a general rule? Vahari gamal, a camel, demala geruhu, where it chews its cud. The English shenayim lamala, doesn't have teeth on the top. The tame, and it's tame. Because you said again, anyone that's demala geruhu doesn't have teeth on the top, and it's kosher. Here you see a camel has, it is demala geruhu, it doesn't have teeth on the top, and yet it's not kosher. So on that the Gemara says, no, gamal nive isle. Camels have nive, which either that means to say that they have these two teeth on the top part, on the sides, which are called the canines, and now horses, which are obviously non-kosher animal, also has them, that's recognizable, but it just has a lot more teeth. But the camels have nive, so there are some teeth on the top. Or another interpretation is that, no, even though they don't have any teeth really, but their gums, they protrude. And the area looks like teeth because it's protruding and that's what they use to bite with. So therefore, it's not like what we're saying that it has no teeth at all on the top. The kosher animals that are those that are malagera, they have no teeth at all, nothing that's resembling that. And that's an obvious sign that it's going to be a kosher animal. But the Gemara continues asking, "Vary ben gamal," but a young camel didn't even nami lesley, where it doesn't even have these canines or these gums protruding until it gets older, and yet it's a non-kosher animal. Vesu, question number two is Hari shafen vary nevis. There are a few exceptions that the Torah mentions that have either one of the two signs. Generally, non-kosher animals don't have any of the two. The kosher animals have both signs. There are some that have, they're the exception to the rule. Gamal, Shafan, and Neves are maligera, but don't have split hooves. And you have the Chazir, who has split hooves and that doesn't chew its cud. So on that, the Gemara in question number two is asking, but Vary Shafan, Vary Neves, the maligera hang, they do chew their cud. And yet, not like you were saying, you said whatever chews its cud does not have teeth on the top, but Yeshlan Shinaim Lamala. First of all, they do have teeth on the top, and Vitamim, and they are non-kosher. Void question number three is, Shinaim Miksivi by Raisa, does it talk about in the Torah anything about having teeth on the top of the jaw that you're saying, oh, by the way, you should know, if it chews its cud, oh, so that means it doesn't have teeth on the top. Who cares if it has teeth on that? Why would that be relevant? That's not one of the signs of a kosher animal. So Elah HaChakam rather says the Gemara, this is what the Bryce is saying. Kol behema she'en lo shenayim l'mal has to be read in a different order. Any animal that does not have teeth on the top, meaning that's what you're seeing, you're opening up its lips and you're seeing it doesn't have teeth on the top. But you do a she'mal ageira. Now you could work the other way. No, now you know that it chews its cud. Umafres is parsa, and that has split hooves. And in other words, and you don't have to wait to see if it chews its cud and utahira, and then you know it's a kosher animal. Just open up the mouth, check if it has teeth on the top. If it doesn't, you know it's kosher. However, on that, that's the Gemara, Velibdig b'parasasat. So why don't you check the hooves? Okay, you don't want to wait till see if it's going to, the cow is taking a long time to see if it's chewing its cud or not, but look down on the floor, see its hooves, if it's split or not. Says the Gemara, Kugan Shayi parasasat chatuchas. We're talking about that if, let's say, the hooves were cut off, or could Rav Chizda, like we find in the following halach of Rav Chizda, that it could be at times that that won't be a viable option to check because it'll be cut off, and you don't want to wait for the to see if it chews its cud. Just look, if it doesn't have teeth, you know it's kosher. Because the Amr of Chiz, like he says, if someone's walking in the desert, now he's starving, he's looking for something to eat. He finds an animal that its hooves are cut off. So he can't check to see if it's a kosher animal that way. So he checks in its mouth. If it doesn't have teeth in the top part of its jaw, but you do a shitar, you know that it's kosher. And lav, if not, if let's say it has teeth on the top, biyadushi tameh, then you know it's non-kosher. Ubavad shiyaka gamal, but says Rav Chizda, but this is all contingent on that the person at least can recognize what's a camel and what's not. Because he has to be able to know that this is not a camel, because a camel also does not have teeth on the top, and yet it's non-kosher. But however, on that the Gemara asked, but didn't you say gamal nivi islay? But a camel has some teeth, you said it has canines. So on that system, Elo, no, rather what we're saying is Ubavacha Yakur Ben Gamal. The person has to be able to recognize what's a young camel, because that's the only other one that doesn't have teeth on the top, but still it's still non-kosher. As long as you know it's not a young camel, then if this animal has no teeth on the top, then you know it's a kosher animal. But I'm thinking we're asking that too. But Lav Amr Ika Ben Gamal, didn't you say there's an exception to the rule in a young camel that it won't have teeth on the top and yet it's not kosher? So ikanami, so then you could also say and be suspect and say that maybe minachrina de dami la ben gamal, maybe there's another species that's similar to a young camel that also does not have teeth on the top and yet it's not kosher. How could you know this animal's kosher? Says the Gemara, loisakadadach. No, you cannot entertain to say that, because the Tan Rebbe Shmuel is taught in Yeshiva in the Brisa of Rebbe Shmuel, the Pasuk in Vayikra says, when it says these animals you should not eat, it says and es hagamal, and the camel. Why? So says the Pasuk, because in spite of the fact ki maligeru, although it brings up its chewed food, it chews its cud. However, like the Pasuk concludes, but ufarsa and enemafis, but it does not have split hooves, it does not have the second sign. On that says the Braisa, Shalat by Lama Yodea, the one who rules his world knows, she'en l'chadav maligeru v'tame el gamal. There is nothing that chews its cud, yet is not kosher, besides the camel, and those which are mentioned there in Sukkim, like we mentioned, by Shafan and Arnevis. But nothing else has that. Lafikach part by a custom who. That's why it says over there, Kimaligera, who? It's the one. To teach you that you don't have to be suspect for any other maligera. Because every other maligera, and so too, like we're saying, if it has no teeth on the top, is going to be kosher. The exception is a gamal, but a gamal you could tell. But a ben gamal you cannot. As long as you know a young camel that it's not, you know if it does not have teeth on the top, that's a kosher animal. And that's the halacha that the Braisa was telling us. Now, similar type of teaching from, again, V'amar Rav Chisda, says, Hayim Halach Baderech, someone's going on the road, U'motze Behema Shepia Gamum. He finds the animal that its mouth is cut up. So you can't check anymore in the upper teeth because you can't tell. It's all cut up over there. So Baidik B'Farsa Sel. So go check now by its hooves. In Parsa says Sedukas, if it has split hooves, which means to say that the hooves are split, in contrast to some animals. So you do a shi taira. So then you know it's a kosher animal. Im lav, if not, then you know it's not kosher. Ubovat shi'akir chazir. And this case is the other way, because chazir, the swine, is the only one that, as we're going to explain, has split hooves but doesn't chew its cut. But any other non-kosher animal is not going to have split hooves. So if it has split hooves, then you know it's kosher. On that as to gemor, but lav amarik chazir, but didn't you say that there is an exception to the rule that of the swine? So, maybe there's another species that's similar to swine that also has split hooves and it's not kosher. So it's like, come on, loy sagadait, if you cannot entertain to say that either. Because the Tanu Rebbe Shmuel, Lord, in the Brisa of Rebbe Shmuel, where the Pasuk now is forewarning the opposite, where the Pasuk says, Vesa chazir, and regarding the swine, ki mafris parasuhu, because it has split hooves, but the Pasuk says, who gave it la yigur, but it doesn't chew its cut. So on that similar says the Braisa, Shalt by Lama Yodea, the one who rules his world knows, Shein Lucha Davar, there is no other creature, Shemafriz Parsa, Vitamei, that has split hooves and is not kosher, El Chazir, the one exception is Chazir. Lefikach part by Hakasav, who, that's the passage, who, to say this is the one exception to the rule. But any other animal has split hooves is going to be kosher. A similar teaching, Vamar of Chizde, he says, Amahalach by Midbar, someone's going in the desert. Now you're really stuck. You can't check. Wait, you can't. Not necessarily do you have time on your journey to wait to see if it's going to chew its cud. So the only two obvious signs, which are one that's related to chewing its cud, which is check the upper, if it has upper teeth or not, you can't get it cut up. And neither can you check the hooves anymore because that's also cut up. So what do? So it says, Baidik Bibsara. You check its flesh, which the Gemara is going to shortly explain where that is. If you see that it goes vertical and horizontal, then you know that it's a kosher animal. But if not, then you know it's a non-kosher animal. And this sign, you have to at least recognize the wild donkey, because that's the only one that's going to also have shasiv erev and yet still be non-kosher. However, the Gemara asks, Lav amar ikar ored, didn't you say there's the wild donkey that has that sign yet it's not kosher? Maybe there's another species that's also just like it that has that sign and yet it's not kosher. So the Gemara, we have a tradition that that's not the case. Now, on that is the Gemara, but Behecha Baidik, so where do you check? Where exactly in the flesh is it that it goes vertical and horizontal? So Mabaye says, Meitam et Sensei was Rav Chisda, Bekanfei Ho'okets. In the back of the animal, beneath the tailbone, there's flesh over there that when you tear it, it tears both vertical and horizontal, but by non-kosher animals, it's either one or the other. If it's going both, then you know that it's a kosher animal. Again, the only exception is the wild donkey, and as long as you know it's not that, then you know this is a kosher animal. Now, the Mishnah had said that Simoni Behema and Simoni Chaya, the signs of the wild animals regarding what makes it kosher and what not, is said in the Torah. Now, Tarnabon Gwenda Brisa, it says, Elohim Simona Chaya, what are the signs for a kosher wild animal? Well, that is the Gemara Chaya, Bechlal Behemahu, L'Simonim. What do you mean? The wild animal is included in like the domesticated animals for the signs of what makes it kosher. The Torah says, Zaysa Chaya, and it says the signs afterwards which apply equally to the domesticated and the wild animals. So what's the Brisa asking? So Amr B'Zeri says, as we continue to Mid-Bays, it's Lahatr Chelba. There is a specific halacha that relates to wild animals, which is to permit certain fats, which are actually forbidden in a behema, which are called the chela fats, there's the fats we call shumen, but there are certain fats that are forbidden in a behema, in a chaya they're permitted. And this is what the Brice is saying. Elohein simone chaya, what are the signs that it's a wild animal, to know shechel b'mutter, that its fats are permitted? That's what the Brisa says, kol shesh lo karanayim, whatever has horns, which the Gemara is going to shortly explain what type of horns are we talking about, vitlofayim, and it has specific types of fingernails on the hooves, which are sharp and pointy, if it has those two things, then we know it's a wild animal, and then we know that the chaylev, the fat of the kosher chaya, is going to be permitted to consume. Now, Reb Deisaim, he says as follows, says, yesh lo karanayim, if it has horns, then you don't have to check the hooves. Meaning, even if the feet are cut off, then it's going to be kosher and the fats are permitted to be eaten, because horns are a distinct sign of a chaya, that it's not a behemah. Now, but yesh lo tlafayim, let's say you check and it has the hooves of a chaya, of a wild animal, tzarch ata lachzal karnam yislav, and then check for the second sign of horns, because that's not such a definitive sign as the sign of the horns. Now, the keresh, which is a wild animal, and the Gemara is going to later explain what type of animal this is, af pi she'en lo ele karen achas, even though it only has one horn, as the Girsa adds on the word chelboy, then chelboy mutter, then its fats are permitted, because again, we know that this keresh is a chaya. Now the Gemara asks on this halacha, klaluhu, is this really a general, like the Bryce is teaching us, a general concept of category regarding a chaya, that if it has horns and if it has certain type of fingernails and its split hooves, then it's a chaya? Vahare eiz, but you have a goat. The yeshlo karnayim betlafayim, it has both of these signs, horns and these types of fingernails, and vechelbayasr, yet we know it's a behema, and its fats are forbidden. But it has these two signs that you say what makes it into chaya, that its fats are permitted. Says the Gemara, no, it's not just any horns. Kruches b'inan. We need to have that they're layer upon layer, like the horns of an ox. That's the type of horns we're talking about that would qualify it into a chaya, which is not the case by a goat. On that is the Gemara, b'vari shayr. But yeah, what do you mean? An ox, the kruches, which it has that type of layer type of a horn, v'chel b'yos, and yet its fats are forbidden because that's a behema, it's not a chaya. But you're saying that the sign of making its fats permitted like a chaya is if it's kruches and you have it by a shayr. Says Gemara, no, charukes binan. We need to have that it has this element of indentations and holes in the horn, which a shayr doesn't have. And that's why its fat is forbidden. But then the Gemara goes back on that. Well, then v'hari eiz. You have a goat, the charukes, which its horns are full of grooves and holes, and yet v'chel b'yaser, yet its fats are forbidden, because the Gemara assumes that it retracted from its qualification of kruches, and it said, no, what we're dependent on is the sign of charukes, and that you don't need kruches anymore, so then the question is back to goats. Goats have charukes, although shar doesn't, and yet its fats are forbidden. So says the Gemara, no, a different qualification, mefutzalas binan. We need to have that it branches out. Sometimes the horns go straight, and sometimes it branches out. So we're saying, what makes it into chaya if it branches out, which does not apply by a goat? On that has to come up, but you have a deer, the emufutzalis, which they don't branch out, which Rashi says it doesn't know what the Gemara is talking about, because by a deer it most definitely does branch out. So Rashi says, what we called tzvi, in the Gemara they did not call tzvi, rather it's that which is called the steinbok, which their horns don't branch out. So that's what the Gemara is asking on that steinbok, that tzvi, it doesn't spread out, yet it is a chaya. The chel b'mutter and its fats are permitted. So I could say the qualification is that it branches out. Says the Gemara, another qualification. Chadures binan. We need to have, as the first pshat of Rashi says, that it's rounded, not like that of a goat, which is more wide and flat. So that's why they don't qualify, the goat and the shard, they don't qualify for the horns, because there's certain qualifications. As the Gemara summarizes. Therefore, since we said that there are certain chayas that are mufetzalis, that they do branch out, but there are those, like the tzvi, which we said doesn't branch out, yet it is a chaya, and it does qualify for the signs of the horns and the hooves to have its fats permitted, so as follows. Hecha de mefatzla, if the horns of this creature branches out, so loydina b'loydina, there's no court case, there's no judge, no, there's nothing to think about, and have to try to find a different sign, because there are no horns of a behema that branch out. So if it branched out, you already know that it's a chaya. Now, hecha d'loy mefatzla, but let's say where it didn't branch out, which that's not automatically a sign that it's a behema like the tzvi. So then, to qualify to make sure that it's a chaya and not a behema, be'inon kruches, you have to make sure that it's layered, chadurais, that it's rounded, v'charukes, and that it's grooved. And the reason why you need all these three is to remove from the doubts of those horns of behemoths, which also have horns, but the behemoths are not chayas. For example, charukes, that it's grooved, you need to exclude from the doubt of the shar, because shar has the other elements, but it's not grooved. So therefore, that to say that it's a chaya, and not, let's say, like a shar, you need to make sure it's grooved. Chaduris, which is rounded, you need to have to exclude from the a's from the goat, which the goat has the other ones, but it doesn't have chaduris, not rounded, it's actually wide and flat. And you need kruches also to exclude from the goat. Now, although we're already excluding the goat for, because it's not chadures, so on that is, as we're going to shortly see, there's a goat called the Eiz Karkais, which is also called a goat, but its horns are chadures and charukes. And we're in the doubt if that's a goat or not. So actually that third qualification would actually be excluding that Eiz Karkais and say that, no, that's not a chaya. Now, however, the Gemara just qualifies the last of the three variables, that this that we say has to be grooved is v'hud mivlach hirkayu. Its grooves have to be connected and intertwined and near all the other grooves. That's are the three qualifications to be considered the horns, to say that if it has that with, or even just the horns possibly itself, to say that's a chaya, not a behemoth. Now, says the Gemara, this that we said there was three qualifications, v'hainu sveka d'izik karkas, like we mentioned before and alluded to, that's related to the doubt regarding this Iza carcass, this carcass goat, which its horns are chadurais, which is rounded, and charukis, and grooved. And we're in doubt, since it has those two qualifications, do we say, oh, that means it's a chaya? Or maybe since its name is Eiz, which is a goat, obviously like a goat, it's a type of an animal, and that's the ones who say that must be there's a third qualification of kruches, of layered, to exclude from this Iza de carcass, which again is a doubt regarding if that is excluded from being a chaya or not. Now, the Gemara actually illustrates that we see there was such a machlekes. Hahi Iza carcass, the Havi Bei Resh Galusa, there was this carcass goat that was in the house of the Resh Galusa, who was the head of the Jewish people in the diaspora. The Akr Molit son of the Tarbamina, that they took out after the animal slaughtered basketfuls of its fats from its intestines. Now, Rabbi Chai Oster, he said it's forbidden. Rav Shmuel Bereid Bavo Ochum, and he ate from those fats because he had that tradition that it is muta, that it is like a chaya. And Kari Anafshi, he recited on himself a pasuk in Mishlei, Mipri Pi Ish, from the fruits of the mouth of the man, meaning in the reward that I heard and I received that this tradition is permitted, Tisba Bitnoi, his stomach is satiated, meaning my stomach has been satisfied that I was able to enjoy the fats of this animal. Now, Shalchem Itam, they sent from there, from Eretz Yisrael, that Hilchas HaKavaseh de Shmuel Bereid Bavo, that actually its fats are permitted, its chaylev, because it is like a chaya. It's not excluded from that qualification. But they said, v'hizaru b'rabbeinu achai, but be careful with our teacher, Rebbe Chai, to treat him with respect and to educate this halachic debate with him until he retracts, but not to permit in front of him what he has said is forbidden, because shemeir ein egeilahu, because he lights up the eyes of the diaspora, and therefore, be careful, although the halach is not like him, but until he agrees, don't go ahead and permit it. Now the Brisa had said that the Keresh, regarding this chaya called the Keresh, Ava Pishein lo ele Keren Achas, although it only has one horn, Mutter, it's permitted, it's a chaya, its fats are permitted. Now Amr Yehudi says, Keresh, what is that? It's Tavi de Be'eloi, it's the deer of this forest called Be'eloi. And Tagris, which Rashi says hasn't been explained to us exactly where this is referring to, but it does sound like tigers, is Ari de Be'eloi, is the lion of a Be'eloi. Now, Amr of Kahane says, Tesha Am Hosa, nine Amis, have been Unalu Una, was between each ear, the Ari de Be'eloi of this lion of Be'eloi. Amr of Yisubi says, Shitzer Amasa, 16 Amis, have a Mashche de Tavi de Be'eloi, is the length of the goat of Be'eloi. Which is what we explained is this Keresh. Now, continuing related to this, which the Gemara then goes into many different discussions, that Omale Kesel Rishu ben Chananya, the Caesar, said to Rishu ben Chananya, says, Eliheichim ka'arye masal, your God is compared to a lion. It's simply like it says the Pasuk in Amos. Arye shag, the lion roars, mi lo yira, who's not afraid. So too, when Hashem speaks, who's not going to prophesy? So you see that your God is compared to an analogy to a lion. So my Rav said, what makes him so great? Parasha katal arye, a mighty warrior could kill a lion. So what makes your God so great that we're comparing him to a lion? So Malay, Sir Rishu ben Chananya said to him, Lav kahai arye muscle, not like a regular lion is he compared to. Kahari de Be'eloi muscle, and that's what we bring in this story, like the lion of Be'eloi he's compared to. So Malay, so the Caesar said to him, Be'ina de mechzis la nehale, I want you to show me this arye de Be'eloi. So Malay says, Le matzi chazla, you can't see this lion. Amalei said to him, Ivra chazinale, he says, no, in truth, I want to see it, and you have to show me this arye de Be'eloi. So Boy Rachmi, so Rabbi Shimon Chananya beseeched mercy from Hashem, is Akar Medachte, and the lion came out from its place. And it was on its way coming. Kevin Marchik Arba Mei Parsi, when it was 400 Parsi away, Niim Chad Kola, it roared one voice, Afila Koma Barta, all those pregnant women, the Shur Deraimi and the walls of Rome, Nafal, they collapsed. The women miscarried and the walls of Rome collapsed. Ademarachik last made a parasy when there was 300 parasy away. Neem Kal Achrin had roared another time. And Nasr Kechi Bishani Degabi, all the men's teeth and molars fell out. Vafhu Nafal Mukrasai Lara, and even the Caesar fell out of his throne to the ground. Samalais said to Rishim Chanani, Bimatusiminach, I beg of you, Bay Rachmila Dilhadil Dukhte, please beseech mercy that it should go back to its place. So he beseeched mercy on this Vahadul Elastri and the Arya de Beiloi, this line from this forest Beiloi, went back to its place. Another occasion, normally Kesel Rabbi Shimon Chananya. The Caesar said to Rabbi Shimon Chananya, Be'ina de'ichsi lelaheichu. I want to see your God. Amalei lemetzisa chazli. He said, you can't see him. So Amalei said to him, Ivra, no, yes, truth is, as we continue to have a Samach Amalav, Chazinele, I want to see him. So Azal ukmi lahadi yemis. He went and he directed him towards the sun. And he did it, but Tukufas Thomas in the summer months. So Amalei said to him, Istaklebe, go ahead and look at him. Amalei lemetzisa says, I can't. Amalei, so he said to me, Yoima, the day, meaning referring to the sun, the Chad Meshamshi, the Kaim Mekema, the Kutcha Berichu, it's only one of the servants, the attendants, that serve in front of the Holy One, blessed be He. And Amrit Lemetzin Lestaklab, and you said you can't even look at the sun, Shechin Lekoshkin, it's the divine presence all the more so. If you can't look at the sun, you most definitely cannot look at our God.